Hello, everyone. Good morning and welcome to an episode of the Buddhist Biohacker. And my name is Lisa. As always, I am your mystic guide. And I am so happy and excited because we are here with our official resident herbalist, the Colorado herbalist, Cheryl Cremines. Welcome back to Herbal Thursday, Cheryl.
Yay! I'm back. We're back together.
Yes.
It's been a while.
It has. And it's crazy how much time flies. And I miss you. I'm happy to be back.
I know. I'm excited.
Yes, me too. And welcome to everybody who's joining in the live. Please, please, please share where you're from. And I'd love to hear one word that describes how you're feeling this morning in the comments section. We'd love to hear from you. And Cheryl, what have you been up to? What's on the agenda today? What are we going to talk about?
So today, because we are all here in North America cold, that I thought we'd talk about herbs and foods to help us warm up and also moisten our bodies with herbs and the foods that we eat.
Ooh, I love that. So, it is a brittle cold, isn't it?
Jeez. Yes, it is. And in places that normally do not... parts of the country, the U.S., that do not normally have to deal with this in this intense time. So, and I thought it'd be really good too, because with your Ayurveda, there's a whole thing with that too. So I thought it'd be really interesting to go from all different perspectives.
I love it. I love it. And welcome in, Heather. Heather is from Superpower Consulting, and she's also one of our group leaders in Ajata Kasha. So welcome in, Heather. And her word of the day is hopeful, which I think is a good word. I don't even know what my word would be today. I'm feeling a little disjointed is actually my word today. Disjointed. What's your word of the day? What are you feeling today?
I'm excited because I get to do this today.
Oh, good. I like it. Well, let's dive in. I think it's really important to talk about all this because it is dry and brittle and cold, and it's terrible when your body feels that way too.
Yeah. So I wanted to start with the warming stuff first. And so the good thing about with herbalism or with anything is to start with tea. With hot tea. So that's like the basic thing. But going from there, the things I always think of to consume is like ginger, cayenne pepper, cinnamon, and garlic are kind of the ones that pop up. And what's good about just those as a basic is you can like ginger, you can put it in food and tea. Cayenne pepper, you can put in food, hot chocolate to add to it. And of course, I just love garlic in general. So that's goes everywhere. But so what the herbs and I'll mention some more herb things too, but what they do that helps warm the body is the basic things they'll do is they are vasodilators, which means they dilate your blood vessels, which will get your blood flowing into like your extremities, especially. And also, if you think like when you eat hot peppers and your face will, some people show up more than others, will get red. Sometimes you'll actually sweat. That's what it's doing, and that warms you up. And having that in a hot tea kind of does that too. The thing about that though, you might want to be careful not taking it to the point of sweating, because if you sweat, that can actually cool you down. Because when you're sweating, you're opening your pores, and that'll actually cool you off. So you kind of got to find that happy medium between warming up and not sweating, because then you'll cool off. It's a little weird that way.
Mm-hmm.
But and then herbs and foods, they can raise your pulse a little bit, which gets that blood flowing, increase your metabolism. And so that's how they work in your body to get you warm. So if you think of spicy foods in general and pungent foods, So horseradish is kind of spicy, but you also think of it as pungent. Garlic is pungent. Those are the things that'll warm you up. So other things that are like more of an herb would be like rosemary is considered warming. Prickly ash, which I don't know how common that is, if people have heard of it, but what I found interesting when I was looking at this, it's a heating circulatory tonic. It's actually really good for the people who can never get their hands and feet warm, which as I get older, I find I understand my grandma better because they just do not warm up. And prickly ash is really good for that. And it's also actually really good for getting toxins out of your system through your pores too, just for a reference thing. And then also another interesting thing, ginkgo, that we use for helping brain function, and you take it, you know, to help you think clearer and stuff, is also improves circulation and blood flow. That's how it helps your brain work. Can also help you in the same instance, warm up also. So I thought that was neat too.
That is cool. You know what my favorite tea is? So there was this place in Boulder, Colorado called Black Pepper Pho. It's probably still there. It was like really clean pho, like noodle things. So good. But they would bring out a ginger tea and it was literally hot water with big slices of ginger in it.
Yep.
And that is like my favorite thing. And I know my liver always wants to be supported. Like that's one of my journeys in life. But man, even just talking about it, like there's nothing more amazing than just slicing up some fresh ginger and putting it in hot water. Like it just makes you feel good.
Yes. And it's amazing. And even adding lemon to it also is one of the best things, not to warm you up, to help, like you said, your liver, it is probably one of the best things you could drink daily.
I love it.
Yep. I agree. And I had that in here about the ginger tea or ginger in general. But for that, as you were saying, but also it's also good if you're sick, if you're getting a cold and flu, because it also loosens up your mucus and stuff and helps you fight that. It's an expectorant, fight your cold and flu symptoms too. So it's ginger is just really good. It's an anti-inflammatory for joints and stuff. It's one of those, I don't know, miraculous. Yeah. Miraculous things, kind of like my garlic and ginger's on there also.
Oh, yes.
No. I love it. I did want to say also the thing about warming up, sometimes I get so cold that I just get in the shower and warm up. But when you're also cold and dry, hot showers can dry you out more too. So that kind of sucks when you just want to get warm and then it's going to dry you out even more.
Yeah. My thing is, so I'm very Vata in Ayurveda, which is that dry, you're just dried out in general. And you also can be cold. And so I do the hot salt baths, like this week when it was cold, I pretty much did one every single night to like get my circulation moving. In fact, one of the nights, I mean, this is really weird. I mean, you know, I'm in a house, we have heat, like it's not, but I got in, I had been outside and it was like 2 degrees here. So I had been out running errands, but when I got in the tub, I realized like a couple of my toes were actually numb. Like, you know, when you get kind of a frostbite, like where the water feels burning hot, even if it's not. And that's what happened with a couple of my toes. And I thought, geez, I hadn't even noticed that. But my big thing is like, I do the salt bath and I like soak and I get warm and I get all my circulation flowing. And then when I get out, I microwave my oils. they're hot. And I really am pretty what I do is I mix my Ayurveda oils. So I use, right now I'm obsessed with ashwagandha bala oil, which is this ashwagandha blend to help soothe the nervous system. And it's really great. And so I mix that with equal parts olive oil and coconut oil. And I actually heat it up in the microwave super hot. Like I have to use a pot holder to get it out of the microwave. Usually it's like a minute or two. And then I bring that in and then I get in my bath. So when I get out of the bath, the oils are usually like that perfect warm temperature.
Yeah.
And I oil my entire body to just lubricate the body, to keep it warm. And man, when I do that, God, I sleep good and I wake up the next day good. And I've had poor sleep this week. So I should be doing that more often, because the nights that I had poor sleep or the nights I didn't do that, you know?
Yeah. And ashwagandha will help if you take it. Also take it internally. That helps with sleep too. It helps calm you.
Totally. I have an adrenal nourish blend with ashwagandha that I should be taking.
Especially this week, maybe.
Yeah. Geez. I mean, it's amazing how we forget to take care of our own selves, you know?
I know.
But I also have the powder, and I have a recipe for brownies where you actually make it with ashwagandha powder. And I tend to throw the ashwagandha powder in a lot of stuff, and it's kind of
hot chocolate.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yum. Yummy.
I love that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, that sounds so good.
It's cold out, so we have excuses to have our our hot chocolate and our brownies and with ashwagandha.
Yes.
Oh my Maybe God. A little cayenne in there too.
Yes.
Yeah. So chocolate is actually healthy, people. Dark chocolate, you know, don't gorge yourself on it, but it actually is healthy for you.
It is. And I just bought ceremonial grade cacao butter.
Oh.
And yeah, I've been, so, you know, I make buttered coffee. I do the paleo buttered keto coffee, not every day, but most days. And, I decided to switch from grass-fed butter. I'm using this ceremonial grade cacao butter just to change it up. And, it's pretty incredible. The smell is like, oh my God, it smells so chocolatey and so rich and so delicious. It's like not even right.
I may stop and visit. I don't know. We If you hear a knock later, it might be me. I don't know.
If I made those, put that in the brownies, what would happen?
Oh.
We digress.
Let me know. Anyway, so I wanted to answer Heather's question. She was asking me about the elderberry and hawthorn berry a few months ago. And I thought it was motherwort, but either way, elderberry is good daily. That's fine. I know on if it was motherwort, usually you're okay. You might want to, it depending on who you talk to, sometimes on those you might want to take a break of a week or two and then start again. In hawthorn berry, I would do the same. So if you've been taking it a while, it's fine. Just take maybe a break of a couple weeks and then start again on those, and you'll be fine. Elderberry is fine daily. It's more of a on the food end of it than the herbal end of it. But yeah, you're fine. It was probably motherwort. Hawthorn berry is also related to the heart. So it's probably why you were thinking of that too. They're both motherwort and hawthorn are heart herbs. So I just know more about motherwort than hawthorn. That's probably why. You're good. So back to warming. So then the foods that you eat can also be warming. And what I probably knew instinctually, and then it just clicked because I read it, was foods that take longer to grow and then foods that are cooked slower are more warming. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. So like your squashes, the parsnip, what else we got? Cabbages. So basically your like fall vegetables and stuff are warming. And then if you do stews and soups and oatmeal, porridge, those are warming foods too. And I thought that makes it a lot easier if you think that way when you're going shopping or thinking about what you eat. But then also, and also meats are warming because they, of course, take longer unless you do sushi, which technically fish isn't a meat if you think about it that way. The other thing they were saying was cherries and nectarines are warming under traditional Chinese medicine. I have no idea why, but I'm all about that, so I'm okay with that.
I love cherries. I think
I do too.
So good. I can never get enough. I mean, I know they're full of antioxidants and they're just, mm-hmm. I mean, they're so great, but I love cherries. And I don't like fruit pie. I'm not a fruit pie person, or at least I wasn't, but man, I'll eat a cherry pie.
Yeah, I love cherries too. And then also the foods, seeds and nuts. So if you go into also oils, so you were oiling your body with the Ayurveda, and and consuming oil. So avocados are high in oil. Seeds and nuts are high in oil. Those are warming. They're also moistening. So you get both of it with those also. I think that's what I have on the foods. When you look at Western herbalism doesn't talk much about the food warming when it comes to foods and stuff. So you look to traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda to get that.
Yeah. And I just pulled up the cherries, Cheryl. So here's what cherries do. So cherries are a good source of vitamin C, potassium, fiber, and other nutrients. Now, this is kind of interesting because bananas are high in potassium, but they're so high in sugar. They're so not the best thing. Now, in the biohacking community, if you do green bananas in smoothies, it can be of benefit, but I try to stay away from bananas for the most part. It's like a rarity. I have one. So it's good to know that cherries are actually high in potassium, so they could be a nice replacement. They're rich in antioxidants, and they also are very high in anti-inflammatory compounds. This says they boost exercise recovery. So they help with inflammation in the body and recovering. They benefit heart health. They improve symptoms of arthritis, and they also improve sleep quality. So there you go. Cherries, man, that's pretty awesome.
That really is. So the key would be to find the cherries out of season that aren't full of, like, you know, the can of pie cherries, mm-hmm. that are full of sugar and stuff.
Yeah.
Which are good, but not healthy.
I wonder too, let's put that on our summer list. Like, that'd be a great thing to can probably if you go to the farmers markets in the summer or your local markets and you can get fresh cherries when they're in season. I would say that's probably something to can and to have on hand or to dry. I love dried cherries and walnuts. That's like one of my favorite like mixes because the walnuts are, they're one of the few nuts that's actually very clean. They're not high in mycotoxins. They're not high in sugar. Almonds even can have you can have issues with your body. They can create antibodies in the body. So walnuts are really good. They also fight parasites, which is another interesting thing. So dried cherry, like organic dried cherries and walnuts is a great little snack mix if you want to have a treat. So something for us to think about over the summer would be drying cherries or canning cherries or both so that you have clean cherries available rather than getting frozen ones right now, probably is what we
in the store. I was wondering if you can buy the cherries in bulk at natural grocers.
Oh, maybe.
I'm going to look when I'm there. I'm not sure. I'm going to look though.
Yeah. Now that we're talking about it, I might have to make some with cherries.
I was going to say, now that I really want some.
Yeah.
There you go. And as we're talking about the warming foods in Ayurveda and the fruit, what I also want to try, because now I'm hungry, my mouth is watering, was stewed fruit. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So I learned so much on this. I knew the herbal part, but stewed fruit. So I can't. I've got to have some.
Yeah.
It said sweet, sour, heavy fruits in the colder months, like cherries, peaches, plums, and bananas. They mentioned bananas on that one. Stew your fruits in butter and milk or milk alternative and add some warming spices such as cardamom or cinnamon.
Yum. Yep.
Oh my gosh. It sounded amazing. It would be a warming thing.
If you scoop some coconut milk ice cream, vanilla in a bowl and put your stewed fruit on top with just a small square of dark chocolate, you're rocking and rolling for your dessert.
Okay, people, this is what we're doing. It's healthy. It's warming. I mean,
I love
it. It's not boring to be healthy. I'm telling you, it's not.
You can do it.
Yeah. The other things that they mentioned for the Ayurveda part was, well, of course, turmeric, because it's a spicy, spice.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I do.
cumin were the spices, along with the cinnamon and ginger. They were talking about sweet potatoes and carrots. To steam them and top them with butter and cinnamon, or roasting them with ginger and chili, because they are warming and grounding. And notice that they are the vegetables that grow in the ground, and they take a while to grow. They're not like leafy veggies. So they're warming. Beets. Now, I have a thing. I've said I've had a thing about beets. Not my favorite vegetable. I can do golden beets, diced, very small, roasted with garlic, and I can eat them. So if you're not a beet person, I can do that. So
I love beets. We've talked about this before. I think they're so good.
And I can't. They taste like dirt. So I'm not the only one. I say that because I'm not the only one that cannot eat a beet. But I can eat a golden beet. I can do that. I mix it with... I roast them with broccoli and stuff. Also, for people who don't like sweet potatoes, I'm going to say this. Golden sweet potatoes are actually really good. And I know why your children like the golden ones more than the other ones, because they don't taste like sweet potatoes.
It's true. Well, the golden sweet potatoes definitely have the texture of a regular potato, and just enough sweetness where they're not overly sweet. And my favorite thing is the golden beets with purple carrots and some cauliflower.
That sounds good.
You roast that, and I use Chinese five spice that I get in bulk from natural grocers. And yes. I love that. If you do the Chinese five spice, it's that cinnamon spice, sweet, rich. It's so good. And then you wouldn't even notice the taste of the root vegetables at that point. So,
yeah, no, that I have some of that. I am all for that.
Susan's asking for that as a recipe. So we do have recipes in the Ajatakasha app. So if you go to Indigo Flow and you click on lifestyle, the recipes are right there. And I have recipe cards for you guys, and I'll make one up for the stewed fruit. I'll make a little note here. We'll get them up.
Yes. When I go to the store, I am stocking up.
Yes.
Sadly, it won't be today because I really want some. So that's what, and also the other thing was raw honey. I found that so interesting that was warming, but it's also dry. It can be drying. So just know that, but, cause I love honey. I know some people don't, my kids don't, weirdly. I think if they're my kids, they should like honey. I don't know.
My kids don't like it either. And I think it's weird because they love sugar. And I think, why do they like honey? Like, it's the best thing.
They love honey. Anyway, so raw honey is also warming. So if you have your oatmeal and you put honey in it, raw honey, then that's a really good start or dinner. I mean, it's not meant just for breakfast. I mix up my meals all the time.
Yeah.
So then we can move. Unless you have something else, we can move into... Oh, wait. I do have something else that Ayurveda says. Red wine. And it says, this is what it literally said. Ayurveda encourages the occasional glass of red wine to stimulate digestion and circulation. So if you take red wine and add some of the warming spices, you have a mug of mulled wine. It does not mean go and get drunk. It just says a glass. but that can be warming too, because alcohol does dilate your blood vessels also.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to give Dry Farms a nice little plug. One of my partners, hold on. I have some right here behind me. Yeah. So if you want to drink, so for everybody who knows me, I really just don't drink. It's just not a thing. And I never actually have. And I've learned that my liver it's actually really healthy and fabulous. But that's because I take care of it. My liver has tendencies to be challenged. So I don't drink that much. However, I found this company. It's Dry Farm Wines, and you can find them on our partners page on lisamgunshore.com. You can also find them in the partners in the Ajatakasha app. I think if you use our link and our code for Buddhist Biohacker, you get a bottle for a penny, I think is going on. I think that's right. But anyway, Dry Farm Wines procures all their wine from vineyards across the not just the US, but the world, that are mycotoxin free, that are sulfite free, that are sugar free. It's the most incredible wine selection, and you just get it like however often. So for me, we don't drink that much at my house. So I only get a case a couple times a year, but you can get as much as a case a month, I suppose, if you want to drink that much or if you entertain that much. But anyways, this is the first wine I've ever drank that I do not have any kind of hangover or headache or issue. My body doesn't swell up. I'm not retaining water. It's really, really great. I get a mix of red and white, so I never talk about it. So this was a good chance to say it, I guess. But if you do want to drink and you're looking for something clean, something that you may not know is that a lot of vineyards will let their grapes sit in these huge vats for a long period of time and they get moldy. And when they actually make the wine's actually really high in mycotoxins and it can make you really sick, which is why when you drink wine sometimes, I don't know about you, Cheryl, but it can make you feel really crappy. So this is like the cleanest wine you're going to find. And it's not that expensive. It's like $180 for a case of six. I mean, it's pretty good deal. But anyways, they're one of my partners. I never talk about them. So there's my little plug for Dry Farm, but I really love them. I think they're a great company and the wine's awesome. So if you are going to drink every once in a while, if I want a glass of wine, that's what I drink.
That's great.
Yeah. It's a long
You need to plug it more.
I know. I probably do because I'm terrible at soliciting. If you guys have, I'm working on it. But they are a partner, you know, they support Buddhist Biohacker, and that's part of Buddhist Biohacker. I mean, I really only partner with the companies that are clean and healthy and also have a good company mission, and Dry Farms does. They have a lot of great, their emails are always really interesting and they share a lot of great information. So there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Yay. All right. So let's talk about keeping us moist, keeping us, I don't know how to say that anyway, hydrated. There we go. Sorry. So sorry, guys. So not just in winter months, but, throughout the year, because like for me, living in a dry climate, being in the stage of life I'm in, it is a struggle. Some of the things you can do, like Lisa was saying about the Epsom salt baths, which are magnesium flakes, that can help you stay hydrated to your skin, and it goes through your skin into your system. So anything you put on your skin or anything you soak in the tub, it goes into your whole system. It just doesn't stay on your skin. I don't know if a lot of people realize that. So it's good to know that if you're soaking in a tub of the Epsom salts or you're soaking in a tub of herbs, that is going in your whole system. It's not just helping a sore on your skin, or it's your whole body. You can also add a pinch of salt to your water that you're drinking, not enough to taste it really, but that will help you hold in water into your body throughout the day. Taking magnesium supplements can also help that, which, by the way, in North America, pretty much everybody is deficient in magnesium if you're not supplementing in some way. It's just the way our diet is here and our dirt that things are grown in and our everything. So, and especially if you're a woman, because of how women's bodies are. The other thing that you can do is marshmallow root and leaf, but root is more common. It does have a flavor, but you can dilute it in the water you drink all day too, or you can add it to your herbal teas. And that is a demulcent, which is a, so think of an emollient is something that you put on your skin, like a lotion. It's like an emollient. And a demulcent is like an internal emollient. So it's something that will keep you moist on the inside, hydrated and moistened on the inside. And that's what marshmallow is. So marshmallow root is. And so if you put that in your water, drink it through the day, or in your herbal tea during the day or whatever, that will help you keep hydrated and help your cells to keep the water in them also. That's a really common one. It's easy. And it doesn't have a strong flavor. It does have a flavor though. But like I said, you put a little bit in, and like, let's say you're drinking a gallon of water a day and it's diluted throughout the day, so you're not going to taste a lot of it. Mm-hmm. There's also some other herbs. Oh my gosh. That are considered moistening herbs that you may have or like. There's plantain, which is not the banana things, but an actual herb. It's actually a weed. And I love, love, love my weeds that you can walk down the road in the summer and find. And I think I have a blog post on plantain on my website. It's one of those. Violets are one. Let's see what else we have. Slippery elm is one. Slippery elm is one of those that you have to, if you do buy it, make sure it has been sustainably cultivated, because it was cultivated to where it was almost extinct. So just be careful about that, but it is actually a really good one. Shatavari is asparagus racemosus, and I like that because it also helps with menopausal symptoms. So that's why I mentioned that. Aloe gel is one. And this is one of those, you can buy the aloe in the stores to drink and stuff. My daughter does it for her stomach. I don't know. I tried drinking it. Some people like it. I thought it tasted weird. I now use it on my skin, actually. So there you go. But some people like it. Yeah, licorice aloe root.
Aloe is a big, it removes heavy metals from the body.
Oh.
So actually, just an interesting thing for you to ponder is, if it's tasting weird to you to drink aloe, it could be that you do have heavy metals that's transforming the flavor of the aloe. And so you can actually take, there's a charcoal clay blend cap that you can take with aloe in it. So that there's no flavor, cause it's a cap. You have to take it on an empty stomach. It's called GI detox. I like swear by it. But that actually will remove the heavy metals from your body. So if you are struggling with heavy metals, or you think you might be, that is a definite great binder to take to pull that out, because the aloe will remove that. So aloe and cilantro, Cheryl. So if you do a fresh blended cilantro dressing, that also will remove heavy metals. So what you want to look for.
Oh, can I do the cilantro instead?
Yes.
I love cilantro.
Yes. And so I blend cilantro with some lemon and lime juice, fresh lemon and lime juice, and some olive oil, and make a dressing. And I do that a few times a month, mainly in the summer months, but sometimes now that I'm talking about it, I'm going to want to eat that too.
Yeah.
But here's what you want to notice. If you make the cilantro dressing and you have it on a salad, so you're having like that raw cilantro, if your poop smells metallic the next day, then you probably need to do some kind of heavy metal cleanse and or use that dressing once or twice a week for a while until you don't have that metallic smell.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So if you ingest, if you're drinking aloe juice or you're ingesting cilantro or aloe, if your poop is metallic smelling, and you guys know what I mean, there's like a metallic smell, you definitely are getting heavy metals out of the body and need to clear those out. So it's a good gauge without having to do a heavy metals test. But I'm guessing, Cheryl, if it's tasting kind of funny, try the cilantro dressing and kind of see, and you can even, you guys can smell it. Like, is it copper? Is it a different kind of heavy metal? Is it aluminum? That kind of thing. We ingest a lot of aluminum because of pans and foil and things in restaurants and what we use at home. So you really want to switch to using no aluminum because it's so high right now just in the population. So.
Okay. Well, that explains why my daughter doesn't have a problem with it probably. And I just don't like it. Yeah. I did make a facial toner with the aloe and I like that. I just guess I'm going to buy some cilantro with my fruit this weekend. I'd much rather do that. The other thing is licorice root. I add licorice root to my herbal teas a lot as a sweetener. Flavor, I should say. I don't know about sweetener is the right word. It's also a moistening herb, and I do know people that don't like the flavor of it. It does not taste like licorice the candy, which is more like anise or fennel. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it doesn't taste like that, but some people just don't like that flavor. And evening primrose, which is interesting. I did not know evening primrose was consider a moistening herb. So that's also one that helps with menopause symptoms and other female hormonal symptoms. Mm-hmm. So any of those, if you wanted to add them to a tea, an herbal blend tea, like a nutritive tea or anything that taken daily can help moisten your whole body. And you should notice it, you know, with your skin, it could also help keep your, obviously your internal organs more hydrated too. So your bowel movement should be a little easier also. Cause when you're dried out, it dries everything. So things, joints dry out, you know, they can be a little more tender. You get more inflammation because then they start holding on to what they can get. Things like that. Bloating is your body holding on because it doesn't have enough too. Mm-hmm. Just so you know. Then the other thing, healthy fats is also keeping your body hydrated. So like the avocados and the olive oil and, the nuts and seeds and things like that. So the foods like the soups with bone broth, vegetables, like I know people don't like this unless you happen to be from the South, but okra is a good moistening vegetable, the oatmeals. Some other ones are like spinach, mushrooms, lotus root. I don't know. My brain went kapooey. Do you have any Ayurveda ones while my brain comes back?
Well, you're mentioning such good things. I mean, I think, this time of year, anything with an oil slick on it is good. So a stew, the bone broth that you're talking about, Cheryl, anything that you cook that's got that like oily slick on top, you want that oil in your body right now. And I swear by avocado. In fact, I often think like, God, what if we couldn't get avocado? I mean, that's really, avocado is so good for your brain. It's good for your nervous system. It helps with any neurological issues. It supports the body. And then of course, like I do the keto coffee, which is with MCT oil and grass-fed butter and that kind of thing. So any way that you can get oils into the body, And in Ayurveda, if you're into that sort of thing, you can also do ghee, G-H-E-E, ghee, which is clarified mm-hmm. butter. You can do ghee enemas into your colon too, which lubricates the colon. It's one of those things where I keep thinking, like, I actually think my colon's very vata also. And I keep thinking I need to like do, try that, but it's like, how do you give yourself an enema? I mean, it is part of Ayurveda. And it is something I learned to do, but it's also like, oh, do I want to do it? But it does come to mind for those of you who want to try something like that. In Ayurveda, they believe during these dry, cold times, it's about lubricating the body inside and out and in every single crevice. In Ayurveda, they even talk about flossing your nostrils. It's a very focused, disciplined practice when you get into it, as far as like all these different things. Speaking of the nostrils, there is a sinus oil that you can get in Ayurveda, and you actually oil your sinuses, and it helps reduce the kapha, because what happens is vata, that constitution, is a dry, brittle energy. And kapha is the constitution that's very oily and thick and heavy and that kind of thing. And so what happens is when you get very vata, and I was this way a month ago where I got a respiratory, I had like runny nose and lots of mucus. That mucus is actually the kapha trying to counterbalance the dry vata of the season. That's why we get colds and have respiratory things that are going on. And so when you are oiling your sinuses during this time of the year, especially, you're balancing out that kapha so it doesn't have to produce excess mucus. So if you're having trouble with mucus, you may want to consider oiling, because what people do is they neti pot their nose to death, and then their nose is dried out, right? Because you're using salt water mm-hmm. and you're cleaning out your nose. The tradition is to neti pot, to do that clearing out of the sinuses with salt water. But then when you're done, you actually oil the nostrils so that you're lubricating them. It's the same thing as the salt bath. You get in a salt bath, the body soaks in the minerals in the salt. So your body needs that, but it dries the skin. So then you oil the skin. It's the same exact concept. So there's tons of different oils. Banyan is my preferred distributor of Ayurvedic stuff. And they have sinus oil. They have mouth oil to swish in your mouth. They have all the oils for the body and for the internal as well. So it's just something to keep in mind. There's a lot of oiling going on in Ayurveda.
That's funny. I like that.
Yeah.
One of the other things was, when you are dried out, is to consider your lifestyle too. Is if you are tired, if you are under stress, if you are so not getting enough sleep, you're exercising a lot, not taking care of yourself, taking really hot showers all the time without counteracting that, using really harsh soaps, things like that. Anything else you do without taking care of your lifestyle and taking care of yourself on the rest of it, the internal, the stress and the sleep and the other, it's just not going to help. There's no herb, there's no oil that's going to really help that until you take care of your whole being. And that's the way it is in all of my practice and herbalism is, you can't fix one symptom. You got to fix, well, you can for a short period of time, but it's not going to work unless you really, find if there's something else going on that's bigger too. And that's the same thing with being dry. I mean, I'm dry and I know why. Cause I'm, you know, 51 years old, and there's some stuff going on being a female at 51 years old and living in Colorado.
You do not.
Point being,
not 51.
I'm 27. I just lied. I just make myself older. Point being though, if I wasn't taking care of the rest of myself, it would be a lot worse, and nothing I did would have been able to help with that either. So I did find another thing that was interesting when I was looking up some information, was about pine, you know, from pine trees and stuff. And I found this so fascinating on so many levels that I'm going to like keep this in my mind. And I just wanted to read this to you guys, what I found out about pine, because living in Colorado, of course, we have a lot of evergreens. And it says, the needles of the tree are a rich source of vitamin C and make an enjoyable tea, according to this person. I've not had the tea yet, so I don't know. It also supports healthy circulation and is a great preventative and restorative remedy from winter illnesses like laryngitis, bronchitis, and the flu. It also helps protect cells from damage. This person collects chunks of recently fallen sap and add it to honey to create an antiviral, analgesic, and expectorant syrup for coughs and colds. Add the needles to baths for pain relief and to soften tight muscles. So one, I found it fascinating that pine needles and sap had all these health things. I don't know why I never thought of it like that. It just came into my mind like, whoa, because it's like right outside the door type of thing. Like, I don't know. But then it gets even better. It says, incorporate pine into your practice if your health is impacted by feelings of guilt and failure. The tree teaches us how to be resilient by showing us what is no longer necessary to carry.
Wow.
Because they drop their pine needles, and we can learn that also.
Wow. Like, that's cool.
I know. So I was like, read this. I've like read that. I was like, what? Like, I don't know. I had to share that because I was completely mind blown, not just by the healing of pine that, you know, growing up in an age of pine sol just never clicked in my head on the personal health thing, but then that it can, if you have feelings of guilt and failure, it teaches us how to be resilient by showing us what is no longer necessary to carry.
That's interesting.
So if you're feeling that, maybe find an essential oil of pine, you know, to have around to smell, go to a pine tree, try a tea with pine needles, you know, and just start a home remedy just for the healing of that. I'm amazed by that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was a random thing that I read and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I love it.
So that's my new thing is pine. I'm going to go. I don't know how to find freshly dropped sap though. Like in
Colorado, I think probably go to the foothills maybe.
Yeah. Definitely not outside my door. There's too many dogs.
Oh, that's cool. What cool information. This whole show has made me hungry, Cheryl.
I know. Oh my gosh. Seriously. That was not the intent. It was supposed to help us stay warm.
Seriously. Well, I'm all about sharing how people get in touch with you. And I want to talk for just a minute about Ajatakasha. So most of you guys on here probably already know that we've launched our own social media app, Ajatakasha, and it's so fabulous. But I wanted to share the screen so I can show you guys a couple of resources and also how to connect with Cheryl on here. Let's use our technology to its advantage. So here we go. Look at this, Cheryl. How cool is that?
It's so cool.
So this is the app, and this is the app on the web, but of course you can access it on your
cell phone. And look, Nadine's on there.
I know.
And Nadine's in our, that's so cool.
Isn't it? So up here at the top, we have groups. We do have a food group, so you can share all of your recipes and food stuff in here. We have an Ayurveda group as well. And then we also have right here, the Colorado Herbalist. So this is Cheryl's group. And here she is. She's got a video she just posted up on there. And you guys can share your comments and be a part of this group. So this is a great way for you to connect with Cheryl, who is our Colorado herbalist. She's our official herbalist here in the community. And then if you click on the menu over here and you go to Indigo Flow, this is my lifestyle and diet space. So if you click on lifestyle, here is all of our recipe cards. So we do have recipes on here. Somebody was just talking about that, and I hate pop-ups. So these are literal cards, and this is a great one. This is a pumpkin latte. This is great for this time of year. It's got all those warming spices that Cheryl was talking about. I also have my turmeric coffee in here somewhere. Let's see. Not sure where it's at. Maybe this is it right here. Here you go. So here's your paleo coffee that's got your MCT oil and collagen and all the great stuff that you need to keep your body lubricated as well. So all of these recipes are in here. I'll add some of these other ones we were talking about. And you can find all that in this space as well. So just to share with you guys, that's all in there. App is free, and it's free for all of those resources I just showed you, but you can connect with Cheryl in there if you're not already in there. And if you are in there and you didn't know she was in there, now you know, and you can ask all your questions in there. But Cheryl, how else can everyone connect with you? What do you have going on? What's going on this month, and what are you offering? And just share away.
So my website is coloradoherbalist.com. I have a blog, and schedule with me if you want to connect with me that way. I have a YouTube channel that I am hoping I am going to be putting up more videos on, teas and how to do things, and kind of talking just about general how to live healthy or stuff, but not like sorry, I'm having a cat thing. I have to throw.
It's okay. I get it.
Serious. I am so sorry. But kind of like, not like, you know, how you should live healthy, but how we're trying to live healthy, and how, you know, the struggles or the ideas and stuff like that. And I'm also on Instagram at Colorado_herbalist, I think. Is that right? I think that's right. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
I'm so bad. We just left Instagram. So bye-bye to that.
I know. Let me tell you a random thing. There is a thing on Instagram called Please Hate These Things. And it is about builders, or like build houses, and the way they, like, they put a slash in a pole in a room so they could have their ceiling fan.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, the comments, hysterical. That's why I'm on Instagram. It makes me laugh hysterically. So if you want to check it, Please Hate These Things. Look, I'm plugging somebody else's thing, but just because, if you need a laugh, it's so funny.
I love it.
Me too. You can check me out too.
Yes. Yes. And please don't forget, if you're watching this on the Colorado Herbalist, don't forget to subscribe to Buddhist Biohacker YouTube. And if you're on Buddhist Biohacker YouTube, please go over and subscribe to the Colorado Herbalist. We are putting together a global network with all of these channels, and we have some new information coming out for our 1 year celebration of One Heart, One Earth. And I'm so excited about it. So we're all here to support each other, and it's definitely worth sitting at home. I mean, Cheryl, I really didn't know much about YouTube a year ago. I mean, let's say no, but I'll tell you what, now after a year later, it's amazing. Like, I get my iPad out on the weekends, and I will sit and catch up on all of the channels, all of us, everything that's going on. The astrologers I really love, the healers I really love. It's actually really great. Like, I don't watch we don't even have normal television anyways, but like, yeah. I don't watch TV. I really do watch YouTube. And so for those of you who are coming into the YouTube space, like, welcome in. And, it is really great. It's kind of nice to just watch, you know, to get the information you want, you know?
Yeah. I love it. I don't have regular TV. I have, some streaming, 'cause I like British mysteries and YouTube. Yeah. So, that's what I do. And I get caught up on everybody too. It's great.
Yeah. And I've got like 70 notifications in Ajanta Kasha. I was out. Cauldron had a little accident yesterday.
Oh, I know. Oh my gosh.
She's doing better. And thank goodness. So I'm just, you know, checking on her a lot and making sure she's okay. But anyway, so I've got to get caught up is the point. But for everybody who is following Buddhist Biohacker, you guys know how to find me. But I am actively on the community page here on YouTube. This is my social media at this point, is YouTube and Ajanta Kasha. So if you're looking for me or for what's going on, and I've got some really great stuff that's going to be coming out to really support all of us. I'm going to try to really get the conscious content rolling. So look for that. And Cheryl, I just love you so much. Always. This was so good.
Yes. I'm so glad that we're back on track. I am.
Me too.
I'm back on track.
Well, we both are. I mean, we've both been through a lot, I think. And yeah. So I think it's nice. It finally feels like the new year to me. I don't know about you, but it's like, oh, yes. Finally 2021 is here. And if you guys have questions or things you want Cheryl to cover in Herbal Thursdays, join her group in Ajanta Kasha and start sharing your questions and everything. I know she'd love it. And we are back. We have a brand new show that we are launching today at 2:00 with Christine Shaheen called Instant Future. And we're going to be talking about the goddess and her story. And we're going to be talking about ancient techniques that you can use now for our future lives. And I'm really excited about that. And then we have our Diamond Beauties program tonight as well. So all in all, a big day on Buddhist Biohacker before we hit the weekend. And do you have any weekend plans, Cheryl?
Well, I'm going to go buy some fruit and make some stewed fruit with some coconut ice cream. That's my plan.
Oh my God. I will too. And I'll get a recipe card up. That's a great idea. And I'm going to do some cooking this weekend. I'm going to do some stews and some things myself, I think.
Yeah.
Really inspired by today. Thank you for everything that you bring, Cheryl. And thank you to everybody who's watching.
Thank you.
We love you so much. And we'll see everybody in a few hours.
Bye.
Bye, guys.